The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
Tonight's show, I welcome Phoebe Pinnock from the band Heaven the X as our special music guest. I'll also cover this week in the NFL, Trent Reznor and new Nine Inch Nails music, expensive whiskey, the top movies at the box office this weekend, and the Manny Pacquiao fight, all this and much, much more tonight here on Unsigned. Hey, everybody. How's it going out there in Radio Land? My name is Ryan. Welcome to another edition of the Unsigned Show here on Omnis.tv. And I'll tell you what, we got a big show for you this evening. We have the lovely, talented Phoebe Pinnock from the band Heaven the Axe coming on in a little bit. So definitely stick around for that. And a lot of things I want to get into, like, again, NFL, the Manny Pacquiao fight. Everyone knows I'm a big boxing fan, so we'll get into that and the repercussions of that fight. But let's get right into it tonight. This is a story. You know, we did a story about this that happened somewhere, I believe. I think it was actually in my good old state home of Tennessee here, where a father and son had fought over the last can of beer. Well, I found another interesting story about that. This time it was a woman named Vanessa Robinson who was charged with aggravated assault when she allegedly cut her boyfriend, Jason, multiple times after he tried to leave her apartment with the last beer. Now, we're not talking expensive beer here or, you know, really fine beer, anything like that, or imported beer. No, we're talking good old-fashioned malt liquor Colt 45, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're talking about, okay? She stabbed a guy for the last can. I'm assuming maybe it's a tall boy. Maybe it's a 22-ounce of Colt Malt Liquor 45, to be specific. The alcohol-oriented altercation started brewing apparently last Thursday evening in Hempton Township in Pennsylvania. And according to the news and state trooper in that area, Steve Lamani, the Pennsylvania State Police, he said the person who purchased the alcohol says, "I was leaving." He goes to grab the beer that he purchased, and the female, in this case, Vanessa Robinson, started arguing with him, saying, "You're not taking the beer." And she ended up getting physical with him, and then she ended up pouring. Turns out they actually ended up pouring the Colt 45. It went to waste. They wasted good fashion Colt 45 malt liquor. How dare they? And then in the altercation, she ends up cutting him in the arm, neck, back, and the stomach areas prior to him being able to disarm her after several stitches. He's going to be fine. She's obviously facing aggravated assault charges, and the Colt 45 was spilled to the ground, wasted. Unbelievable. Fighting over Colt 45. What in the hell is going on in Pennsylvania? That's what I want to know. What the hell? But moving on tonight, speaking of alcohol, this is fine alcohol. How much would you pay for a nice bottle of whiskey, right? You go to a liquor store, you get a nice bottle of whiskey, maybe, you know, $30, $40, $50, $60, depending on the whiskey. This is actually taking place tonight in California. It's a private auction in Los Angeles. It's a bottle of Glenfiddich Single Malt Scotch. There's only 55 of these bottles made. And this is an award-winning pale beverage, and the auction, again, is going to take place this evening in L.A. There are only 15 bottles made. There was actually made in 1955. I'm going to get a correction on that. Now, these bottles have actually sold throughout the years in auction. The most recently noted was in New York, fetching at auction $94,000. $94,000 for this single malt scotch. Another bottle in 2011 was a limited edition expression sold for over $72,000. And then there was another one in the UK that sold for $70,000. So anyone's guess here as far as how much this whiskey is going to sell for. You think that's the most expensive whiskey? It turns out that is not the most expensive whiskey. The Guinness Book of World Records says the most expensive whiskey sold at auction went for $460,000. It was 1964 Old Macallan bottle of whiskey, which sold in New York in November of 2010. You want to talk about an expensive Christmas gift? Unbelievable. I guess I like whiskey as much as the next person, but I ain't paying $70,000 for a bottle of whiskey. I'll tell you that. Moving on this evening, more just strange news. Like I said, these stories really do write themselves. this is meat and guns. If anything, you know, it's a meat and potatoes. Well, Roswell, New Mexico, apparently meat and guns go together. New Mexico authorities say they were puzzled by what turned out in a package of meat at a Roswell grocery store. A worker actually opened up a case of frozen ribs this past week and found a handgun and ammunition packed with the meat. Now, Sergeant Jim Preston says the Albuquerque station is investigating and speculation how it actually got there. Authorities do have some clues. Well, that's comforting. They have some clues on how a handgun and ammunition got packed with some ribs. So that's always comforting. They're like, well, we're going by the date it was packaged on June 8th of 2011. So just keep that in mind when you buy ribs. They've probably been packaged and frozen for about 6 months. So keep that in mind. So they've got some leads. Nothing like finding a nice 38, some ammunition to go with your ribs. Roswell, New Mexico. A lot of weird stuff going on over there. A lot of weird stuff going everywhere. This is, I'll tell you what, you want to talk about 10 minutes alone. This gentleman in Maine, police said he actually reported his encounter, you'll say, with a prostitute, saying that his prostitute did not give him his money's worth. He said that she still owed him 10 minutes of time. So he goes to the police and tells the police the 34-year-old he's actually being charged with engaging in prostitution now because he's complaining that, he wants his 10 minutes. You know, so he's not going to get his 10 minutes. He's going to face criminal charges. The police also say the investigation that led to the women who are believed to be in a prostitution ring in the area as well. He's going to face, charges and be arraigned at a Maine district court sometime here in the next week. So that's a helpful tip here tonight on the Unsigned Show. If you happen to pay for a prostitute and you're 10 minutes short, don't call the cops. Just let it go. So. Unbelievable. Let's head into the music news. So this is an interesting story that I thought I would share with you this evening. Trent Reznor planning on new music with Nine Inch Nails, also a greatest hits compilation set for sometime in 2014, according to The New Yorker. Reznor intends to contribute two new songs to the collection and plans to write music for a new album afterwards. Reznor also revealed his collaboration with Dr. Dre Beats by Dr. Dre and a music streaming project, which is still in a working name of Daisy, which is set for release in 2013. The project is meant to help users sort through songs in the best way they can, similar to what Spotify does now. Reznor told Rolling Stones in July that he was working on a new Nine Inch Nails material. New music. He says, yeah, I think it's I think it feels right. It's a possibility. I never said it was not going to happen, just that it was going to go on at some point. Now, Trent Reznor's obviously been pretty busy with How to Destroy Angels, also composing the soundtrack for the video game Call of Duty Black Ops 2 and contributing to the new Queens of the Stone Age album. A lot of people working on that Queens of the Stone Age album. Dave Grohl playing drums, Trent Reznor being a contributor to it. It'd be interesting to see who else is going to work on that album for Queens of the Stone Age, which again is sometime set to be released sometime in 2013. Now, the Rolling Stones have taken up their invitation for the 12-12-12 Sandy Benefit Concert December 12th, which is tomorrow night here at Madison Square Garden in New York City. The Rockers announced on Twitter that it will be joining the lineup. This is an amazing lineup, if you ask me. Paul McCartney, Eric Clapton, Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi, Billy Joel, The Who, Dave Grohl, Kanye West, and Coldplay. Now, which one of that group doesn't necessarily really belong there? That's a hint. Unbelievable. You go through that list and you go Dave Grohl, Kanye West, Coldplay. Wait, Kanye West with Bon Jovi, Billy Joel, Eric, okay, sure. I guess they needed some a relevant hip-hop artist to be a part of it. But moving on, Jason Newsted, former bass player Metallica, played in Metallica for well over 15 years. He said on his website and also on a video blog, he's very happy with life right now. He's got a brand new band that bears his own name. He said, we just finished our first record. I'm feeling strong again about playing bass and singing lead vocals. And people will end up hearing it, and hopefully within the next month's time. Happy New Year, new band, new life. Bless you all, and I can't wait to share my music with everyone. I'm entrusting all of my friends to get the word out. Jason Newsted is back. He said he didn't want to come up with a cool name like Echo Brain or Papa Wheelie or anything like that. He just wanted to put his name on it, and he feels comfortable with the music and how many songs they'll release. He's not quite sure. He said it could be 5, it could be 20, it could be 50. He just feels comfortable with the music and look for it coming out very shortly. I'm interested to hear it as well. I like the Echo Brain stuff. I like the Voivod stuff he did when he left Metallica as well. So Jason Newsted, always a class act in music. So interested to see what his new music is going to sound like. And, of course, the Grammys are going to take place. The 55th Grammys are going to take place this February. And like always on the show, we're going to cover all the nominees and also the winners and the losers. This is a story that came out of the Grammys that I always take an opportunity to poke fun at Justin Bieber. I'm going to do so now. Justin Bieber's manager comes out and says, like, he says that the Grammys made a big mistake not nominating him for a Grammy. Really? A mistake. Now, remember a few weeks ago, we had the great Phil Soussan on, who is the VP of the Grammy Board for the last 2 years, has been on the Grammy Board for the last 6 years. And he said verbatim, it's not how many records you sell. It's not how popular you are. It is an award voted to you by your peers for the quality and integrity of the music you develop and create. So I take Phil Soussan at his word. And you know what? The Grammy Board got it 100% right. He shouldn't have been nominated because it's not about how many records you sell. It's not how many little girls scream for you when you hit the stage. It's about the quality and integrity of music you develop and create. And that's why he was not nominated for a Grammy, which will take place this February. Now, speaking of great musicians, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, coming to the Unsigned Show this evening from Melbourne, Australia, Miss Phoebe Pinnock. Phoebe, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, hi. Good. How are you? Well, it's the middle of the day.
I'm doing
here.
Well.
I'm in Sydney. Wait. It's bright and sunny and amazing.
Ah, wonderful. I'm glad you're having nice weather there. I'm in the Nashville, Tennessee area. It's actually turned a little cold. It actually kind of feels like winter here all of a sudden. But I appreciate you taking the time to join us this evening. I know you've been really busy of late. And, I really thank you for, coming on and taking the time out. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's awesome.
No, it's our pleasure. Now, Phoebe, I'm curious. Your story is pretty well documented, but I'm curious now. You got started at a young age in music. Now, the story is that you stole your first guitar, which I really dig. Do you remember what kind of guitar it was and what was the first song you learned to play on it?
Well, it was a school guitar, so it was just like a nylon string acoustic. And I guess I grew up in a family that couldn't really afford these luxuries, and I got it from school, borrowed it, and long term kind of never gave it back, and gave it a spray paint job with blue paint and pink fluffy peach signs. And I got an Ernie Ball "You Can Learn to Play Guitar" chord teaching book, and I think I learned to play Scarborough Fair, which was the first song I learned.
Ah, very cool, very cool. Now, yeah, obviously, fast forward a number of years later, you kind of got your first taste of music there. Now, you've actually, ended up with an interesting group of musicians with the band Heaven the Axe, including Matt Sanders. Tell me about the forming of the band and also the meaning with the name. How did you guys come up with the name and the meaning behind it?
Well, the forming of the band was pretty much Steve and I lived in Wagga Wagga, which is a town in New South Wales, and we moved to Melbourne in 2007 really to seek out, go on a musical pilgrimage and find the right musicians for our vision, because we'd had an acoustic duo and written hundreds of songs and were just dying to turn them into the music we could hear. So we come down here and landed smack bang in the middle of the cream of the crop of the Melbourne metal scene, I guess, because Steve was in a band called Manticore in the 90s, our extreme death metal band, and did really well then. So we kind of had all the connections and had already built the friendships. And when we came down here, it was just natural to hook up with those people who, had been friends for a long time anyway. And we started working on songs and we recorded a couple of songs and went through a couple of lineup changes because I guess Skits had touring commitments around the world with different bands as well. And then we really developed the songs with two drummers at that time and worked with another drummer who didn't work out. So we kind of just kept on building on the relationships with the band, meeting new people, really liked them as people and they liked us. So we all just started to contribute and no one ever really wanted to give up their role. So that's kind of why we have three drummers, because we all just love each other and want to be part of it. And each drummer has a different strength. So We work on different songs with different drummers. You know, when we can, all three drummers perform live. They just swap over through the songs. And, you know, people say, why do you have three drummers? And it's like, well, why not? You know, rock and roll is all about breaking rules. You know, we're not here to follow any sort of prescribed guidelines on what people think. And it's very organic. You know, it's like a family. One of my drummers lives with us, Aramis. Hi, Aramis. I think you might be listening. And with my husband, Steve, who's the guitarist and main musical genius, you know, behind creating the sounds. And also Matt, our other guitarist, lives with us too. So we're pretty much a happy little family, you know. It's kind of evil having so much happiness and playing aggressive music, but I love it. And when it comes to the name, I had the term Heaven, the Axe and Dirty Wings, which is kind of the image of, you know, an angel that was fed up with the rules and restrictions of always following the light and kind of wanted to embrace the darker, aggressive energies and decided to hack her wings off and be, you know, somewhere in between embracing all spectrums of energy, because I guess that's what I kind of don't like about religion, is that it's all light and no dark, and there's nothing wrong with the dark, because if there wasn't any dark, then you couldn't appreciate the light, and you need to be able to embrace the different energies that are offered by the universe to be able to achieve anything. So we just shortened Heaven, the Axe and Dirty Wings and just made it Heaven, the Axe, and we really liked it and went from there.
Very cool. Now, I really like the meaning and also how you came up with the name. Was there any names out there that you recall at the time that you guys were thinking about and that just didn't make the cut? Anything that you recall?
I really like the name The Science of Noise and Silence, but it didn't get through. It was once we had Heaven, the Axe, we were all just like, yes, that's it. That is it. You know, it was one of those moments. Like when people have a child and they just know that's the name. That's it. This is our baby.
Very cool. Now, you mentioned, you know, you had a couple lineup changes, drummer changes. How has that been a challenge for you as – well, you personally, even as a band, what challenges has that represented for you guys having, you know, band members leave and having new band members come in?
Pretty much that, I guess, in the early days of developing the band – just learning about our power to be able to communicate as people and being able to say, you know, being able to appreciate the value of what we had just as people and musically and our drive, you know, not tolerating people that weren't quite into it as we were. So once we really learned that and attracted the right people who are all very much into it, then we haven't really had any problems. It's a very solid friendship group, you know, very close people now, and that's the challenge of having three drummers to work with, and really the reality of that is based around, you know, life still happens when you're an independent band. Life is still going on, and there's all sorts of commitments that you have in your life, such as a beautiful drummer, Aramis, his mother was suffering a horrible illness and battling in a hospice for a couple of years in a town called Myrtleford, which is 3.5 hours out of Melbourne. So a lot of the time he really had to be there with her and caring for her. So with that commitment, you know, for his family, we were really able to, you know, invite other drummers to be part, to share the load, you know, because there were some shows that he could do and some shows that he other do couldn't, you know, do. So all the other boys just wanted to be involved. So we just went with that, and now there's all three of them. And the challenge involved with having three drummers is having to actually rehearse, because the songs are so technical involved. You really need to do a lot of rehearsal every time, no matter how many shows you've done. It's like doing a workout and getting that muscle memory back. So we do a lot of rehearsal and a lot of re-rehearsal, and that's kind of the challenge, I guess, is the commitment to being up to scratch with each and every drummer all the time. So I guess that's kind of been the negative side of things, but in reality, the positive of the friendship and the camaraderie between the band members far outweighs any negatives.
Very nice. It sounds like you've definitely built a good synergy with your bandmates, and the music that we're going to hear tonight, I think, definitely translates very well, and the audience will definitely get a chance to hear some of that here in just a moment. But as a woman, you know, as a youth growing up and, you know, wanting to get into music and hard rock, were there certain females in the industry, whether either in your youth or in your adult life, that you look up to or still look up to today?
I think, like, growing up, I guess I was more attracted to people like Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston, even though metal as a genre really appealed to me. The music really didn't appeal to me until very recently, where I found a real energy that I was very attracted to the sound. But for a long time, I really wasn't attracted to the sound. I was attracted to the people and the scene and just the lifestyle of just the beauty of the people that love metal. So I guess coming from the background of Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston, where, you know, because I grew up in a home where money wasn't really something that was there. So singing lessons and guitar lessons, things like that, just wasn't an option. But living an unstoppable life where I just knew I had to sing and I wanted to write songs, I would just sing along to Mariah Carey CDs on repeat all day. You can ask my next door neighbor, Renee, you know, how much she had to endure listening to me belting out Mariah Carey on repeat. But the reason I respect those artists is because they're kind of like Steve Vai or Joe Satriani or vocals. The talent is incredible when it comes to the kind of vocal gymnastics they can do, and that's the basis of what inspired me as a vocalist, I guess.
Very cool. Now, is there any, obviously, you know, early beginnings, you know, now that you're, you know, in the scene and you have a really great band and you have really, you know, obviously vocally, you're very talented as well. Is there any, artist right now that you kind of look at and go, ah, yeah, you know, that, you know, that band or that particular artist, or, you know, what do you listen to in your free time? You know, I guess is where I'm going with that.
Well, this week I'm listening to like Despise Icon and Meshuggah and, Revocation. Those are the kind of things that have been played at our house. Thy Art Is Murder. The boys are listening to those kind of bands all the time. You know, Aborted. We love bands like Clutch and Napalm Death. Definitely Slipknot is at the top of the list. And Hailstorm, I guess. I really like Hailstorm. And Lizzie Hale is a vocalist. She's just incredible. And I just love all sorts of music. You know, I've been listening to Fiona Apple and just really appreciating her melody and lyric content and just looking at songwriting from a different perspective from what I grew up with, which was very verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, kind of a structure, which always, when I was growing up, that's what I thought was the only way you could write a song that would appeal to people. But being immersed with people that have such an appreciation and love for metal, you know, they've really taught me the structures of those songs are what makes it cool, you know, that breaking those rules is what metal is all about. So the new songs that we're demoing at the moment, they're a bit more of a journey, you know, they break a bit more of the conventional rules, and we're really excited about them.
Very cool. Now, you mentioned Clutch there. That's one of my favorite bands of all time. So that big props to it. You know, anyone who loves Clutch, I'm always a fan of. But one of the first songs we're going to hear tonight is a song that I actually selected off the album, which is Sex, Chugs, and Rock and Roll. We'll talk about more on the album here in a moment. But the song Glue, the reason I requested the song is I'm not really a lot of reasons I requested the song. One is I thought it really showed your diversity as a vocalist and as a band. And I also was curious about what this song in particular meant to you.
Glue was a song that was written about the monetary system and just about how a lot of society lives in the drive and pursuit of money, whereas my journey really isn't about that. I guess a lot of our success is built on relationships and opportunities rather than any financial investment, and that's something we're really proud of, and there's real magic in that creation. And it's really about, you know, rich people make a fortune and are just unhappy, and there's really never any solution. If you're sad, you can't really buy happiness. Happiness has to come from a place within, you know, it's whatever is your God or whatever, you know, spirituality or however you connect to your heart. That is pretty much what's going to make you feel better. And that's what the song's about.
Well said. Now, unless you're that guy in Maine who didn't get his extra 10 minutes, apparently you can buy happiness as long as you get your full amount a lot of time. But anyway, let's check out the song Glue from Heaven the Axe here on Unsigned. Is Glue by Heaven the Axe here on Unsigned, hanging out with Phoebe Pinnock here on the show. Phoebe, the album Sex, Chugs, and Rock and Roll, which you guys released in September of 2011, you guys have been hitting it hard, playing a lot of shows, working on the craft. What is your favorite thing about being in front of a live audience?
I love being in front of a live audience. It's amazing to get that energy back from people, you know. It's a whole other world, like being out and being, you know, on the stage with all that amazing loud music. Just gives you a high that you can't get anywhere else. It's like penetrating your cells, like that amazing sound. So there's something about it, you know. You walk on stage and something completely overtakes you, and yeah, it's just brilliant to see people enjoying our music in the real sense.
Very cool. Now, obviously, the album's been a little while. Obviously, a lot of people really enjoy the album. I really like the album. I heard it, and I was like, I was trying to pick songs that we wanted on the show. It was hard just to select a couple because the album as a whole is really, really good. Now, heading back to the live experience, what is, if any, I guess, any wild or interesting moments you've experienced either yourself personally live or the band as a whole has experienced live?
You mean something weird while we've been playing live?
Yeah, exactly. Whether it be before a show, after a show, during a show.
Probably one of the maddest things we've experienced was we went to the Sydney Entertainment Centre in Sydney, which is a huge arena kind of place, and we performed a song there which is on the records called Unconditional Love. And it's probably the most important song that I've ever written that I feel like I'm the most proud of, because of what it says and the journey of how we went about translating it from acoustic to the band version of it, which is what you hear on the CD. And we performed it there. It was such a huge moment for us. And then we were driving back to Melbourne, which is about a 10-hour drive, and we pulled off this little servo in a really small country town, and for the life of me, I cannot find that town. I don't know where it is. But we went to this small country town service station to use the loo and walked into the shop part of it after, and there was a lady behind the counter there, and she sort of had crystals around her neck, and I thought, that's really strange for a service station attendant to look that way, but it was a small town, so I kind of went, oh, I had to go with it, obviously. And she just looked at me and she goes, oh my God. And she runs around the front of the counter and she grabs me and she goes, I'm a psychic and your mother is here. And my mother had passed away in 2001 and I'd written the song for my mother before she died. And she goes, oh, she's here. She wants you to know she's so proud of you. She's so proud. That song is going to touch so many people. It's and she was crying and holding me and shaking and she wouldn't stop. And she's like, don't give up, whatever you do. She goes, this doesn't happen. And at this point, people were lining up to pay for their fuel and they're all just standing there going, oh, my God. It was such an intense moment. This woman and I just crying in the store while she just ran at me saying that my mother had jumped into her body to tell me this stuff. So I reckon that's probably when it comes to weird shit.
Wow. Well, that is a powerful story, and I appreciate you sharing that story with us tonight on the show. That is definitely a moment I'm sure that you will never forget, and I'm sure that woman will never forget either. And I appreciate you sharing such a sentimental story with us tonight.
I'm a pretty sentimental person, and it's a fabulous story. What an experience, Another one, we put together a fundraiser in our hometown of Wagga Wagga where it was devastated by floods earlier this year. And we thought, we can do that. We can pull off a massive festival in this soccer field. And my brother and I coordinated it and brought Angry Anderson down from Sydney to sing all his Rose Tattoo songs. And my band played as Rose Tattoo. And we played and we had the winners of Australia's Got Talent called Justice Crew, who are huge in Australia, and we had all these world-class supercross bike riders who jumped in the background, and thousands of people came that day. We raised something like $50,000 in a day. And before the people were allowed in the gate, me and my band and my friends who were just random crazy people, you would never think we could pull something like that off. We stood there in our staff, crew shirt that we had made, and we're looking at each other going, we're going to do this? This is crazy. But it just goes to prove you can really do anything when you've got such a bloody good team of people around you.
Yeah, that's another great story. We always, I say, people are probably going to think I'm nuts, but I say this every week when we have bands come on and, they share, positive stories. It's not just, about the music. You guys are doing stuff in the community and, and being positive and spreading good energy. And that goes without saying. I think it's great. And for you guys to just kind of pull together a group of people and do something like that is, absolutely great. I dig it. Now, I'm kind of switching gears on you a little bit here, Phoebe. Now, I want to talk about your guys' writing process for a song and even song selection for an album. What was that process like for you guys?
Well, the writing process is generally, it starts with an acoustic song. So something mainly like I come up with a melody and some really basic skeletal chords on an acoustic guitar. In the past, it's been like this. And Steve and I will refine that idea. And he's such an amazing guitarist. You know, I just wish I could reach my hands through his arms and have his talent to play the ideas that I have. So it's either that I lay down some generic riffs on the guitar and then I give it to him and he makes it into something amazing, or I'll just sing a riff at him, you know, like, and he has to, you know, translate whatever crazy shit that I'm throwing at him. do that, and then a lot of the time, and then we'll just put it together with the band, you know, just jam on it. At the moment, we've been laying down demos, so we've been just recording that basic idea. So it'll be a guide guitar, drums, basic guide vocals, and then we'll take that back, you know, and the rougher the better, I think, when it comes to the demos. We'll listen to the song a million times, and then some harmonies will start to just spring in mind. When it comes to vocals, the guys will write the different layering of the guitar. They talk about the tone of guitar, and we have a special person, Jimmy, who works specifically on getting the right tone. We have another co-writer, Nick Rackham, who we've been recording these demos with as well, who's just such a super talented, incredible virtuoso guy. He's got a couple of projects happening for them with our other drummer, Tommy, and another one called Hadlemore. And then it's just mind-blowing shit. And to have him go from his bloody gazillion string metal guitar stuff that he does to, right now, kind of pop, or we call pop in the scheme of metal, you know, songs, and contribute to that. So it's flabbergasting for us. So that's basically how it is. It's a lot of rehearsing and writing and listening and just keep on refining it until it's something that we're really happy with. And then when we get into the studio and work with the producer, we'll then refine it some more on the spot, you know, really, really go with what works best for the song.
Well, I tell you what, I dig that. And then one of the songs that obviously made the cut, and you guys actually did a video for, and it's a great video too, which is the single off the album, Enemy. Talk about this particular track and also how fun it was making this particular video.
Oh, my God, Enemy. Well, we thought, you know, once you're on the internet, you're on the world stage. Everyone can see you, and instantly, you know, you see a lot of unsigned or independent bands. And you see their video clip and you just go, that is so lame, you know, and the band is dead to you. So we thought, fuck it, we've got no money and we wanted to put together the best, most ambitious clip we can possibly achieve with $0. So we met this fantastic guy who's like a brother to me. His name's Thanasi Panagiotoros, and he's just a super talented genius when it comes to editing and putting together, you know, directing things. So we hooked up with him, put together the story with a guy called Steve who wrote the background story, and then we set up sourcing locations and extras and actors and costumes and cars and equipment, catering, everything that you could imagine. And it took us, you know, quite a long time to pull that together without money. When it came down to money, it was really, if a business wanted to charge us $1,000 to stand out the front of their business and shoot a scene, I would not take that. You know, I would write them an email and say how important it was for them to support us in the independent music community of Australia. And then they'd bring me back and say, look, you know, if you do show up, we'll just turn a blind eye. So that email was worth $1,000 to me. Or if another, like the courtroom, you know, where do you get a courtroom to film in this day and age with no money? So we found that one, which was about 2 hours out of Melbourne, and we had all sorts of extras come up to sit in the background there. And it was such an amazing day, but it was a historic courthouse in Smythestown, which is outside of Ballarat, and we had everyone rock up that day. But beforehand, we went out to check it out, and the people were like, it's going to cost, you know, this much money to hire for the day. And I just said, look, we've got no money. How about we do gardening, or, you know, we need some bricklaying done. If you need some website editing done, if you need anything, you know, rubbish removal, we'll do it. You know, whatever you need. We just don't have money as a currency. And they were fine with that. They were just like, look, I can see you're really serious and passionate about it. You can go for it, you know. So we've been really blessed. And the point is just don't take no for an answer. Figure out what the other person really wants for their life or whatever they're really trying to get, and then try and work something out. And that's so far succeeded with us. And another thing is our new website. That came about because, well, we couldn't find a police car, you know, the late model car that's the undercover police car. We couldn't find anyone who would lend us their car for the day. The guy that owned the blue car, the one that we're speeding around in, he brought his friend in for the black car. And the guy rocked up in the day. He was so lovely. And like our producer had the same car, but he would not lend us his car. He's like, no way, it's going to get smashed. That is it. Absolutely no. And we're like, oh, God. But as fate had it, the black car did get smashed in our film clip.
Right.
And the guy that we just met, who was being lovely in there for 3 days while we filmed these chase scenes, he was like, it's okay, let's keep filming. And we just paid for the excess of his car. We were like, you know what, even though we didn't crash it, we're going to take full responsibility for it. And he was so amazed at our generosity to pay $700 excess that he turned around and said, my wife and I have the most incredible website company, and we're going to make you a whole new website, which took them weeks, hours and hours of dedication. But it was pretty much because this incredible relationship based on integrity and respect was there, you know, right from the start when we know each other, that kind of magic happens, you know. So that's the story of how we've been able to create what we have, you know, just through a commitment with people and relationships.
Again, another great story, and it's a great song, and it's a great video. If you haven't seen the video, definitely check out. Was it heaventheaxe.com? Is that right?
That's it.
Definitely check out the video at heaventheaxe.com. But you can hear right now, it is Enemy here on Unsigned.
Friend.
enemy here on Unsigned. That is Heaven the Axe. I'm talking with the lovely Phoebe Pinnock and also Armorous and Steve. Say hello. They are listening on the show, so they say hello to you.
Now, pictures on my Twitter. You should have a look at them. They're a very attractive pair of daughters, aren't you, darlings?
Now, I have to ask this. Is Foster's really the beer of choice in Australia?
I don't even know what Foster's is.
We were discussing that because here in the States it's advertised as Foster's Australian for beer, and that's a horrible accent for me. But they have this commercial where this they're running here now that this woman comes out in this bikini and she's got half a six pack, and it says Australia Foster's for beer 13, and I kept finding myself, why are you not in that ad? Is what I want to know, and so I'll leave it at that, but.
Yeah, I don't mind clearly being in a hard rock band. The business is promoting alcohol drinking, I guess. very strange when artists such as Pink and, really famous, amazing, incredible musicians come to Australia and they ask them what is their beer of choice, and they say VB. And VB is the lowest of the low when it comes to beers. So when you're in Australia, there's amazing boutique beers, I guess, and that's what you've got to look for. Cooper's is probably the number one. Cooper's Pale Ale, which is a beautiful beer. So that's probably the most popular or easily accessible beer that would be highest on the Heaven the Axe recommendation beer drinking chart.
All right. I will definitely try to see if I can find some of that here and try it. Now, what is your drink of choice? New Year's Eve is coming up. Gotcha, basically 3 weeks away now. Any plans for New Year's, and what is your drink of choice?
My drink of choice is very strange recently. Well, I met Rasheen Murphy, who's the singer for Moloko, and she was drinking brandy. So it wasn't really one of the spirits that I've really made my way through. So that's my latest drink of choice, which is brandy with coconut water. You know, the baby coconuts, and it's got that clear liquid in it. I love them. So I've been having brandy and coconut water, which is kind of odd. But I like that. And then in the morning, I have like a kelp and cucumber and carrots, spinach and red cabbage juice with spirulina and probiotics and to make up for my sins.
Fair enough. Now, you've got this kick-ass band in Australia. Now, you also have, the Rock Aerobics Gym, which is also branded in your image as well, and is inspired to encourage women to reach their fitness goals. And you're also a spokeswoman for the world's first certified organic skin and healthcare product as well. Tell me a little bit more how you got involved with these particular projects.
Basically, the owners of those two things, Sabina for the gym and Narelle, the director of My Essence, they just contacted me on Facebook. I think they've been to a couple of our shows around Australia, and they're just really beautiful, driven, incredible women who do amazing things in the world. So that rock aerobics gym is like air guitar aerobics. So you go there and the instructor is giving you all these rock out moves, and it's hilarious. You burn just as many calories from laughing as you do from doing the moves. And My Essence is just such an incredible product, so pure and has so much respect in Australia and around the world that it's simply an incredible company. And I have absolutely no qualms getting behind either one of those businesses and helping promote, however I can. They're just incredible things for the world.
Very, very cool. It sounds like, obviously you're involved in a lot of things. With the band, the album, like I said, Sex, Chugs, and Rock and Roll came out in September 2011. What is your future plans for the new year?
Well, we had a show this Saturday in Melbourne. It's at the opening of this brand new kick-ass rock nightclub called Ant. And it's in King Street in the city of Melbourne, and that's like right on this sort of strip club street. It's going to be a wild night. We're playing with a band called Bug Dust and 180 Proof, so we're just getting ready to do that. And then after that, we are just working on all the new songs and writing and recording and demoing, because it's really important to get ahead with those, being that we've done about 40 shows in the last year and each show takes up so much attention. So we want to take a bit of a break from playing in Melbourne for a little while and work on the new record. And we're doing some shows in New South Wales. We're playing in Sydney and Newcastle on January 18th and 19th, and probably do an acoustic show up in Sydney that week as well. We're playing a festival called the Bangover Festival in Scone, which is in, I think, just above Sydney, and it's at a place called the Thoroughbred Hotel. So we're playing at that on Australia Day. So that's kind of what we're planning to do at the moment. And then long term for next year, we're really trying to make it overseas. So we really want to get on some tours and head out of Australia and go and make some new friends with bands and have a great time and meet the rest of the world.
Well, I tell you what, I think the world is definitely ready for you guys. I love the album, and I am definitely interested what you guys come up with next. And, you know, when you have new music and you guys ever want to come back and talk, you know, you're always welcome.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Wonderful. Now, Phoebe, if people want to get a hold of you, get a hold of your band's music and find out what you guys are up to, how can they do that?
They can just go to our Facebook page or look me up, Phoebe Pinnock, on Facebook, and they can go to our website. So our website sells all our music and merch. It's heaventheaxe.com, and that gets shipped out all over the world. So by all means, go on there. And Raj was on Twitter, and we're pretty friendly. We're not scary as we look. But we'd love to sing.
Wonderful. Well, Phoebe, again, thanks for your time. And trust me, ladies and gentlemen, Phoebe is anything but scary. A very attractive woman, very lovely. And I tell you what, you're very, very talented. You have a great voice. You have a great band. And we appreciate you taking the time to come on the show tonight. And we leave tonight with another track from Sex, Chugs, and Rock and Roll, another great track off the album. Like I said, you'll be hard-pressed to find an album that's not good on this particular album. And that is Get Your Devil to Do It. Anything we need to know about this particular track before we leave tonight?
Well, the song was written because I've moved from Wagga to Melbourne, and in Wagga, you know, I'd grown up having a lot of really nice friends, and if you had a problem with someone, you really kind of had to work it out with them, because it's not such a big town, a lot of people know you. So when I moved to Melbourne, it was really obvious how backstabbing and bitchy the music scene was, and if you had really upset somebody, or they just kind of didn't like you a little bit, then you were kind of dead to them, you know. So being in, I guess I'm a really trusting, honest, you know, person, and it doesn't occur to me that people can be that way. And I really learned how harsh people can be in the city, and being kind of more, you know, attracted to the angelic realms of what I was saying about with the name of the band, I had to really learn to dig deep into those darker, more aggressive energies of who I was in order to be more assertive. So it was a real turning point for me, learning to stand up for myself and say, actually, you know, this is what I think, and if you don't like that, then that's fine, you know, because this is me, and just being able to own myself. So that's what the song's about.
Wonderful. Well, yeah, Phoebe, again, thanks for your time, and definitely stay in touch. Best of luck to you, and have yourself a nice new year.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
And here it is, Heaven the Axe with Get Your Devil to Do It here on Unsigned.
Get your makes you ache and fit.
Devil to do it. That is Heaven the Axe here on Unsigned. And again, special thanks to Phoebe Pinnock, a lovely, talented woman in rock and roll metal. And I tell you what, if you get a chance, definitely check out that album, Sex, Chugs, and Rock and Roll. It is a kick-ass album, front to back. And you heard the single tonight, Enemy, and Glue, and Get Your Devil to Do It on the show this evening. So that's just a small sample of how kick-ass the music really is. But tell you what, let's keep the night rolling with our Pigskin Pick'ems here on Unsigned.
Start. Offense. Center.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
No doubt about that. I'll tell you what, I was on the hook this week. My pigskin picks for this week were 8-8, leaving me 114-58-1 on the season with 3 weeks to go in the NFL. And let's take a look at this week's games real quick. The Thursday night game, all of a sudden I'm picking Thursday night games correct, but the rest of the week I'm tanking. So it's been a long season. What do you want from me? Broncos, Raiders, this was an easy one to pick. It was pretty much a no contest. Peyton Manning has the Broncos team at 10-3 right now. And I tell you what, this team is a serious, serious threat to make a very, very deep playoff run. Nobody wants to go to Denver and play Peyton Manning. I'll tell you that right now. And the Steelers, couldn't happen to a better team. Big Ben Roethlisberger comes back, and they get beat by the lonely San Diego Chargers. They definitely got Norved, as in Norv Turner. Who would have thought the light powder blue Chargers would go to the Steel City and beat the Steelers? Not only beat the Steelers, they were blowing the Steelers out in their own building. Love it, love seeing it. And the Steelers are fight, clawing, and scratching just to try to make a playoff spot, which I predicted at the beginning of the year they would not make the playoffs. And they've got some tough games along the way. They very well may not make it, which wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit. Now you have the Titans taking on the Colts. I'll tell you what, the Titans, this team, I'm here in Nashville, and I hear a lot about this team, and their main problem is they can't tackle anybody. Their defense is horrendous. They can't hold a lead, they can't get a lead, and when they do get a lead, they definitely aren't holding it. And they are just a sieve. The offensive coordinator is gone, Palmer. He was in Cleveland for years. He was horrible there. He was horrible in Tennessee. He's gout. The Colts, Andrew Luck, I can't believe it. If he's not rookie of the year, I'll be stunned. He's been phenomenal, and they are in the driver's seat for a wild card spot in the AFC. The Jets versus the Jaguars. This was, I'll tell you what, the Jets have won two in a row and two of the ugliest football games you're ever going to see. But the Jets find a way to squeak out against a really bad Jacksonville team. The Bears taking on the Vikings. Adrian Peterson. You want to talk about this guy tore his ACL in the last week, next to the last week of the season last year. Comes back, plays every single game this year, and leads the league in rushing, and he was phenomenal on Sunday. And the Bears, I don't know what's going on with the Bears. That defense has been pretty suspect in the last several weeks, and that offensive line is horrible, horrible. That it's been a couple years like that now. Jay Cutler's taking a beating there. They got to do something about that offensive line, and they're going nowhere. No team has ever been 7-1 and not been to playoffs. The last team to do that, I believe, actually was the Bears in like 1941. A lot of work to be done in Chicago. The Falcons taking on the Panthers. The Panthers, I can't figure this team out. They go to Philadelphia a couple weeks ago, beat Philadelphia. They go to Kansas City and get stomped by Kansas City, and they play one of the best teams in the NFC and blow them out. Who knows? But the Panthers up and down, Cam Newton, you can't let him run wild like he did. The Falcons, again, are just kind of one of those pedestrian teams. Really good record, but when it comes to playing the big dogs, you got to question whether they're really as good as their record indicates. The Eagles against the Buccaneers. The Eagles get a win. Nick Folk, his first win as a rookie quarterback in Philadelphia, ending their seven-game losing streak. The Rams taking on the Bills. This Rams team with Jeff Fisher, I told you at the beginning of the year that Jeff Fisher would have this team playing very, very solid football, and they'd be a lot better than they have been, and they really are. This Rams team is really coming together, and one of the youngest teams in football. The Cowboys versus the Bengals. The Bengals had this game dead to rights and let it slip through their fingers only like Cincinnati can. And the tragedy in Dallas with the drunk driving incident with losing one of their teammates. Look, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but these guys are making a lot of money. Why not have a concierge service or a limo driver or hire a driver or something? You guys are making, you know, really, really good money. It's not worth putting yourself at risk, your teammates at risk, and other people at risk getting smashed, drinking and driving. It's just not worth it. It's a tragic story. I feel bad for the family of the gentleman who's passed away because of negligence of his friend. And you just got to be smarter than that. It's a sad story. But the Cowboys do rally and get the win in Cincinnati despite everything that's going on off the field. The Ravens taking on the Redskins. The Redskins, one of the hottest teams in football, really, in the NFC. But in general, RG3 and company and the Ravens are reeling. Their defense, this is not the Cleveland Browns defense from 2000. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens defense from 2000. This is a team that's showing its age on defense. And they fire their offensive coordinator. So trouble, not everything's rosy in Baltimore. When they play in Baltimore, they're pretty good. They get on the road, they are a suspect. The Cleveland Browns taking on the old Browns, which is the Kansas City Chiefs, Romeo Crennel, Peyton Hillis, John Smith and company. And the Browns get their third win in a row, the first time they've won three games in a row since 2009. And it wasn't just a squeaker of a win. It was an absolute drubbing by the Browns, 30-7 at home versus the lonely Kansas City Chiefs. Dolphins, 49ers. 49ers are a good ball club, even with Kaepernick. He's learning on the job and doing very well. Saints, Giants. I tell you what, no one's talking about the Giants. So they're kind of up and down. You know, it's getting that time of year where they start putting it together, and they won big time against the Saints. You want to talk about winning big time? How about this one? The Seattle Seahawks. I wasn't real high on them. They have sold me. I really, really like the Seattle Seahawks. And you want to talk about absolute domination. The Cardinals have six turnovers in the first half alone in a 58-0 curb stomp of the Arizona Cardinals. The Seattle Seahawks, I'll tell you what, they are a dangerous ball club. And if they get in the playoffs, nobody wants to see that team. That defense is ridiculously fast. They have speed all over the place. They play bump and run coverage. That is a tough football club up at Seattle. I'll give kudos to Pete Carroll for building a winner there with rookie quarterback from Wisconsin, Russell Wilson, third round draft pick. The Packers Lions Sunday night in Lambeau. Everything you thought it would be. Snow, rain, sleet, wind, and the Packers, they win it. It wasn't pretty, but you know what? They don't pay you to win pretty in the NFL. They just pay you to win, and the Packers get a much-needed W to pull in first place in that division. Bears, Vikings, all of a sudden, right back in the mix there in that particular division. And you have the Monday Night Football game. This was the big, bad Texans taking on the New England Patriots. They've been there, done that. Super Bowls, the whole deal, right? Everyone was like, this is the Texans are going to make a statement. Y'all, they made a statement, all right? They are not quite ready for prime time. 42-7, I believe, was the final score there. I think they got a garbage touchdown at the end, so it was 42-14 was the final on Monday Night Football, and what was labeled, I even labeled as possibly one of the best games of the week, and ended up being one of the biggest duds of the week. That Texans team has got a major issues on defense when they've been so solid all year. Remains to see how they bounce back. And that number one seed all of a sudden is in question, especially if they don't run the table. Now let's take a look at this week's picks here in the NFL. You have the Bengals versus the Eagles on a Thursday night game in Philadelphia. I'm going to take the Bengals on this one. They need this game, one, if they're going to stay in the playoff hunt. I'm going to take the Bengals on the road. You have the Redskins coming to Cleveland to take on the Browns, two of the hottest teams in football. I'll tell you what, that Browns defense, I don't know if RG3 is going to play or not. I'm going to take the Browns to win four in a row. No, I'm not drinking while doing the show. I'm taking the Browns to win four games in a row this season. Nobody thought they would even win four games. Colts versus Texans. I tell you what, I think the Texans, even though they'll be at home and they play very, very good at home, I'm not going to count out Andrew Luck and this Colts team and the emotional power they're playing with Chuck Pagano and everything that's gone on there this year. Maybe a team of destiny. You never know. I'm taking the Colts in an upset in Houston. Jaguars versus Dolphins. This is two very bad football teams. You're not going to see this game unless you pay for DirecTV or something. I'm going to take the Dolphins at home against the lonely Jaguars. Broncos versus Ravens. This is in Baltimore, but I'll tell you what, I'm not discrediting Peyton Manning, and I think that Ravens defense is going to get carved up big time. Peyton Manning is going to carve them up, chew them up, spit them out, and no Sean Marino filling in for the injured Willis McGahee. He has been outstanding. I'm taking the Broncos and a close one, maybe even a shootout, depending on which Joe Flacco shows up. Vikings, Rams. I'll tell you what, the Rams have been playing very well this year, as I noted earlier. They're at home taking on the Vikings. Both these teams kind of positioning themselves maybe for maybe sneaking in as a playoff wild card spot, mathematically still not eliminated, but more playing for next year and kind of getting some momentum. Two very young ball clubs. I'm taking the Rams at home. Bucks versus Saints, divisional battle. The Saints have battled all year, valiantly, considering everything that's happened with the Bounty Saints scandal. That's been well documented, and yeah, how things have turned out today in the news with them, you know, kind of letting the players off the hook, so to speak. I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the Saints in New Orleans. They have the Falcons versus the Jets. This is a rematch of last year's playoffs. I'm still going to take the Giants. I think they're just a better football team than the Falcons are, despite the Falcons' record. Packers, Bears, a big-time black and blue division. The The Bears, even though they are playing at Lambeau, they seem to have the Packers number. This is going to be this could be the game of the week, in my opinion, and we're going to label it as the game of the week. It's going to be probably a can't miss. I'm still going to take the Packers in this one. It's going to be close, tooth and nail all the way. The Lions versus the Cardinals. Look, the Cardinals, they had that really good start in the first, three, four games of the season, and, they're awful. I mean, after the curb stomp they got in Seattle, I expect the Lions to put up some points on them, even though the Lions have not played good football of late either. They've lost six in a row now. I'm taking the Lions over the Cardinals in Arizona. The Seahawks heading across country to take on the Buffalo Bills. I'll tell you what, you have a defense like Seattle does, you can win wherever you go, and I'm taking them to win in Buffalo, which sets up a big-time meeting 2 weeks from now, where they take on the 49ers, which is going to be a primetime game Sunday night. We'll talk about that next week with special guest David Martinez. Also, Panthers, Chargers. Like I said, this Panthers team is up and down, up and down. I'm taking the Chargers at home. Chiefs, Raiders, two very, very bad football teams. I'm going to take the Raiders. Flip of a coin there. I'm taking the Raiders in that one. Steelers, Cowboys. This is a game the Steelers must have, and it seems like, for whatever reason, as much as I don't like the Steelers, they always seem to find a way to win games when they really need it. And this is one they really need. And for that matter, the Cowboys really need it too. This is two teams that are fighting for really their playoff lives right now. So the winner of this one has a chance. The loser is more likely on the outside looking in. With that being said, I'm taking the Cowboys because the Cowboys are I'm taking the Steelers. I'm changing my mind. I'm flipping. I'm taking the Steelers. The Cowboys are an accident waiting to happen. Now, this is another game that's going to be entertaining. The 49ers versus Patriots. I'm taking the Patriots all the way on this at home. I know the 49ers are tough. I'm still taking the Patriots. And the game on Monday Night Football, nobody's probably even going to pay attention to, and that is the New York Jets taking on the Tennessee Titans here in Nashville, a Monday night game. Two teams that are really not that good at all. And for whatever reason, the Jets still have playoff hopes. They re-signed Braylon Edwards. That's their headlines right there. Jets, Braylon Edwards. With that being said, against my better judgment, I'm taking the Titans. Even though I bashed him earlier in the segment, I'm taking the Titans to win a very ugly and undesirable football game on Monday night. Some stinkers this Monday night on ESPN. They really have been. The only bright side is Spider 2, Why Banana? That is John Gruden. That guy loves everybody. Got to like that guy. And this has been your NFL Pigskin Pick'em here on Unsigned. And I want to get to a topic that I've been itching to talk about since Saturday night. And that is, we haven't talked boxing on the show in quite some time. And I'll tell you what, the sport of boxing, I'm a fan of boxing. As everyone knows, we talk about it when applicable on the show. And boxing is going through a major change right now. And you look at just this year alone, just 2012 right now, the people boxing has lost. Emmanuel Stewart, we've talked about on the show. Angelo Dundee, who trained Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard. Hector Macho Camacho, his untimely death. Corey Sanders and the legendary Burt Sugar, a boxing writer and historian. Just to name a few, have all passed away in this year alone, 2012, in boxing. This past Saturday night in Las Vegas, we saw a six-round slugfest between Manny Pacquiao and Juan Manuel Marquez. It was their fourth meeting in 8 years. The first meeting was a draw, and the other two were controversial scorecard decisions that you typically get in boxing, traditional boxing fashion. Saturday night in this six-round slugfest, you had a knockdown of Manny Pacquiao in the third round. Marquez gets knocked down in the fifth round, and then 2 minutes, 59-second mark in the sixth round, a stone-cold overhand right catches Manny Pacquiao on the chin. And you want to talk about getting knocked out. I'm talking Chris Tucker. You got knocked the fuck out Friday. Knockout. Flat on his face. No 10 count needed. It is a TKO. Manny Pacquiao out cold in the middle of the ring. Well, not in the middle of the ring, but near the ropes. But you know what I'm saying. He's out cold. Now, this brings, Manny Pacquiao is one of the greatest fighters, he's been in boxing for 17 years. What, easily one of the best fighters in his weight class, maybe one of the best fighters, especially in the last, 17 years, in boxing. And, again, he's had a lot of fights. And you look at the ringside, the punching underscore card, just how many punches were thrown, just only six rounds now. Pacquiao lands 94 of 256 punches. Marquez lands 52 of 246 punches. So Pacquiao was really dictating the fight here, but one big right hand by Marquez, that's all it really counted, knocking Pacquiao out again. His career, again, 17 years. You look back, this is his second loss in a row. Now, the one before that was against Avery Bradley, which was a controversial decision. It really turned me off from boxing a little bit there. But Pacquiao overall is 54-5-2 as a fighter. That's a lot of fights. Marquez is 55-6-1 with 40 knockouts. When you see a legend of boxing, because Manny Pacquiao is that. He's an icon of boxing in the world, especially where he's from. And a culture icon. When you see something like that happen to a boxer, it happens to all boxers. Look at Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, Frazier. Lennox Lewis had his moment as well. Fortunately, they stopped the fight towards the end of his career when he fought Klitschko, when Klitschko was making his comeback under the training of Emmanuel Stewart, who we lost this year at boxing. It happens to all greats, unfortunately. And I think we may have seen, hopefully not the, I don't think we've necessarily seen the end of Pacquiao, but as far as him being a dominant fighter, his second loss in a row, controversial as the Bradley fight may have been this past summer, but when you see a legend like that get knocked out, a guy you've never seen, I mean, sure, he's been knocked down in fights, but knocked out cold. A legend like that knocked out cold. Really begs the question of how many more fights at 54-5-2 Manny Pacquiao really has left. And you start thinking about that, and you start thinking about Floyd Mayweather, and that fight against Manny Pacquiao probably is never going to happen. And it's unfortunate because it should have happened probably 5 years ago when Manny was in his prime. But that's my take on boxing this evening. And I tell you what, let's take a look at the top movies like we always do. Close the show. Top movies, starting with number 10, working our way up to number 1. That is Killing Them Softly, Brad Pitt movie at $2.7 million. The movie Flight, Denzel Washington, $3.1 million. The remake of the 80s movie Red Dawn, $4.2 million. Wreck-It Ralph at $4.9 million. Playing for Keeps at $6 million. The Life of Pi, which has been described as an epic film, $8.3 million. The movie Lincoln at $9.1 million. Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 2. Shiny Vampires That Don't Bite You at $9.2 million. Rise of the Guardians at $10.5 million. And Skyfall back at number 1 James Bond film at $11 million. I expect all these to drop and plummet because this Friday, a movie that I'm looking forward to seeing at some point is The Hobbit. Looks like a great prequel to the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I expect that to rake in major cash through the holiday season, and I expect a big-time opening weekend for them. And that includes our show this evening. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I have. Thanks to the lovely and talented Phoebe Pinnock and the band Heaven the Axe for coming on, sharing their music, and talking with us. Mike, wonderful job as always. And next week is our Christmas show with guests we've had on before. That is Van Attica, David Martinez, and also another special guest I'm working on, a little bit more of that. If you follow me on Twitter, Ryan_inside, stay tuned for that. But hey, check out our Christmas show, and we've got a big year coming up, so definitely stick around. We've had a great guest. We've been very fortunate to have the guests we have. And we're just going to keep having great music guests every week. We appreciate the support. It seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so.